it's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning, I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days, then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above, because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs, you ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust, for you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight, and everything been smooth, yeah I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah I may slip, but God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you could be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God. You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above, because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs, you ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust, for you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, the Lord God, Jehovah, and the Holy Ghost, who are the head of my life. Amen. To all the pastors and saints and friends and deacons, and amen. It's just a blessing. It's a tremendous blessing to be here again, to be able to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm trying to learn some things more, yet even more. You know, I thank God I see what's going on in the world, and it's some areas is chaos, but where I live, we have in relatively peace. Amen. I feel a lot of praying people over here. Amen. Just thanking the Lord. Amen. For another exciting training day that the Lord has blessed us with. Amen. Giving honor to Pastor Gerald, amen, and the Running for Christ Ministries, amen. If I'm correct, they're supposed to go back into full service beginning August 1st. Amen. I believe it's going to be a rush through the door. Amen. You know, I was talking with today I had an interview with my surgeon. Praise God. He's saved. Praise God. Amen. God said he had me hooked up. Amen. I had to ask, you know. Amen. I don't want to pray for somebody to get saved. It's already saved. We actually spent an additional half hour talking, just talking about the word in the world. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But amen, today we are going to continue on being led of the Spirit which I have another note is we're just learning how to walk in love consistently. I mean, the whole of life. We're going to look at some scripture today, some word, some historical content to show that the continuity of God's thought pattern, his mindset, is the same throughout his history. Because the goal is the same. You know, we all, you know, I've said before that nobody in the Bible had a whole Bible. You know, the New Testament saints were teaching out of the Old Testament. And most of the Old Testament believers didn't have, you know, they had some copies of some paper and some notes that they wrote down, and things they called phylacteries were portions of scripture that they would carry to remember, amen, to keep track of the promises of God. But yet their behavior requirements was identical to what we have today. Amen. And so we're going to look at some of that right now. And while we're praying, you can go to Psalm 119, because that's where we're going to begin at today. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless your name today. Amen. Because you're the God of our salvation. And we thank you that in you we have peace, and in you we have confidence that everything is going to be all right, because you are our protector. Amen. You are our way maker. You are our door opener. Hallelujah. Father God, we're asking that you bless each and every one of us with a deeper revelation of the spirit of your wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory and the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you, Lord. Strengthen us with might and iron of man, for yet, Lord, amen, we're still, and there are many going through the bereavement process. Reach out and touch their heart, because you are the only one that can heal the brokenhearted. Father God, we're asking that you bless us, amen, to have a full understanding of how your love works and how you want us to work it. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and courage to carry it out, so that we can be fruitful in every good work approved of you, so that we can walk upright before you. And Father, bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say. And I want to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I was saying, there's a continuity of scripture that the thought pattern, and you have to get to the point standing that the way God sees things, excuse me, and the way the world sees things are entirely different. And you need to take some time and read Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. I know, you know, we used back way back when I was younger, we used to have, because we went to church all, well, I went to church, we went to church all day sometimes, you know. We had a morning about Sunday school and service, and then we would have about once or twice a month, we had these afternoon youth services. And one of the things, we have them like a trivia, and you had to know certain aspects of the Bible. And that was to encourage you to study. Because we're not studying a history, just a history book. We're studying the history book with the psychology of God, which the intent is that we will absorb it into our spirit, and that will be the way of our life. You have to understand, a lot of the concepts and perception, all of them except for God's, let me make that simple, all the concepts and perceptions other than God's will be done away with the day that Jesus Christ set his foot on the Mount of Olives. That's it. Done deal. Day through. Because it's not a democracy, and God is evident that God is smarter than us. I mean, I don't have no debate with that issue. I mean, we look at how all the different governments operate in this world. If they all operated under his principles, we wouldn't have the chaos we have today. But then there's a process that we cannot overlook, eternity, and what we will be doing eternally. The Bible says in several places he has made us kings and priests. Now, you're not going to have a bunch of kings ruling over kings. You're not going to have a bunch of priests interceding and ministering to priests. I mean, that's, you know, you're not going to be pouring, that's like, the, as they say, that's, you know, you're not going to be taking buckets of water and pouring it in the ocean. No, that God, see, we have to see what we see is what we see. And until God shows us something different, and I don't think he will, we have to accept that reality that we are being prepared for that role. You know, that's a process that you go through when a person is born in life. If they're born in the royal family, their life, their whole life, they're prepared to one day be king. And they sit and wait until that opportunity occurs. And this is what we're supposed to do, except that we know for sure that it's going to happen. Now, Psalm 119 covers some territory, particularly David. David, remember the issue here is we're saying being led of the Spirit, which is learning to walk in love, because if you're following the Spirit of God, you're going to be walking in love. Now, walking in love is not the emotional love, the eros love, the that a man and a woman have for each other, you know, that make your heart tickle and you know, and make bells ring. It is really when you always, in this case, when it refers to the Bible, when teaching on the Word, it is talking about the dynamics, the principles that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. You know, you should read that and read that and read that. And again, never read the Bible without praying. You don't have to pray an hour. Pray a few minutes. You want to let God know that you want his input on the process, on the thought, on what you're reading, on what you're trying to learn. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to learn that which pleases him, not which pleases you. You don't want to be doing rituals as to think of a person to be seen as a person that is trying to, quote, impress God. You can't impress God. How you going to impress God? I mean, he's God. What can you do that exceeds what he does? Okay? But you can't misguide him. You can't trick him. You can, people try. I don't know what kind of delusion that is. All right. So now we're getting into one of the aspects of that last time. We looked at some issues of where King Saul, he was king before David was king. And he did not do, when God gave him an order to go and take out the Amalekites. Now understand, God is looking at the fact that you got a generational family that has been murdering, and brutally murdering. I mean, talking about when they would capture a country, they would take the pregnant women and cut them open and kill the baby. I mean, they were brutal. They were very, very violent. And it had reached the point where God said enough. Kind of similar to what's going on in the world today. And, you know, let me make that plain for the new people. What is going on in the world today is you have spiritual Christian leaders particularly, that have been, I've seen him, just lying on God. Lying using his word. And at some point he has to show his opinion. And it is things are happening in the world, because it's not happening where you are. I mean, look at the West Coast. These things are happening now. As I talked about Canada, what's happening in Canada, they haven't been so much as compromising there, but they're still, even throughout the body of Christianity, I've noticed throughout its history, the fact that we don't just have one denomination, which should be Christianity, period, and we have all these little off brands, and then we got off brands of the off brands names, that's telling, in each situation, is where they tell God what they're not going to believe, what they're not going to do. This again, you don't get to vote on this. It's do it or not do it. And that's the whole thing here. We're going to see what David's intent was to do what God say do, how he say do. I mean, did he do it all the time? No. I mean, if you know the story in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, he got caught up with in adultery. He had 10 wives, and he still got caught up in adultery. But that's because there's this outlaw running loose through the universe, well, actually on Earth, because there ain't nothing else out for him to cause havoc in the universe, named Satan and his gang, and he manipulates because he used psychological warfare to be played, you know, and he just talks. He just suggests. Now, to combat that, as you remember this, the only way you can combat a thought, you always combat a thought with words. And in our case, the word of God. We have to remember the word. We have to remember the objective of God. Because when love is up front, that means that before I will draw a person into sin, I'll be conscious of the fact that my primary responsibility is to protect them from it. Okay, I can't go out and chase women and tell them I love them and I'm leading them to hell. That don't right. Now the world might say that, you know, but that don't work with God. That do not work with God. And he not only paid a hefty price, the rest of his life was never the same. Man, I know that experience. Anyway. All right. So we're going to Psalm 119. And I'm going to start with, let me see what I got down here in my notes. I said, start with number, start with verse 61. Okay, now understand, you got to get the mindset here. Now, you got to go back and you got to read in First Samuel. I forget what chapter, but you get if you looked up the Kairos Bible, it's got a real good system in there. You type in David in it to give you the first time David name appears, and you go and read. Now here he is talking about, now listen to this. He said, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. See, now, and at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. All right. Now, you know, I've been a victim of crime before. You know, I've had stuff stolen from me. I had a car stolen. I had a house broken into once. And when you encounter that, immediately anger sets in. And that's a natural response. That's understandable. That's not pleasant. Why would somebody, and it was never anything other than the car. It was nothing, anything of really, to me, of significant value because they risked their life. You know what I mean? It amazed me what people will risk their life over. There's so many people being killed, have been killed, over something that can't compare to what their life is actually worth. And the sad part, when they get killed and they wind up in hell, they can't get out. That's worse than jail. You're getting a life sentence for trying to steal something that you don't even know if it actually has real value or not. But once you're there, you're there. That's done. You can't get out. Okay? Now, here, but he is telling him, he is saying to God that when the bands of the wicked, once I've been robbed, okay, I've been robbed. I've had stuff stolen from me. And David had a lot of stuff. At one while, they had stole his whole family. But he did not forget his law. Because he went to God about the issue, and that's the challenge of life. This is the challenge of life, to turn immediately to God when something happened. You know, I think in anger management, because I like I said, I used to work at the jail, and they had the anger management class, and one of the things they teach them before you say something, they call it the 10-second rule. Before you say something stupid, wait 10 seconds, see, and then think about it, because you know, like, you know, we're going to talk about that later. But this is the thing. When something happens, be quiet. Because, one, no matter what, your words will always carry power. And you want to say what's going to be beneficial for you, what's going to glorify God. Now, like I say, that is not something that you accomplish you know, you get saved on Sunday and on Monday you are able to do that. Trust me, I got saved, but back, you know, almost 40-something years ago, and there are days. Like, for instance, one of my challenges used to be when people cut me off in traffic, you know, and remembering, because if I don't know that individual, you have to, this is something else you got to remember. You got to remember this. You got to remember this. You got to remember this, because this is one of them slick trick blessing blockers that Satan will use, okay? You can't speak against the body of Christ ever. There's one Christ. There's not two Christ, because a person is a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, or whatever they are. And even if you know what they are, you still, and they cut you off in traffic. If somebody cut me off in traffic and I call a child of God a knucklehead, then I'm calling Christ a knucklehead. You know, that may not seem that deep, but it is. Because it's a pattern building. Once I release myself to do it in a small level, I start doing it at a bigger level. It's called graduation. See? And then before you know it, you're all over the place with it. You know, and people cannot tell that you're a Christian. You've seen Christians like that. You listen to them talk, you know, and you hear them say some words, you know, speaking in that other tongue. And then they turn around, praise the Lord. And you're like, what? What Lord are you talking about? Hallelujah. And again, it goes even further back to what a training day about. Training your spirit. Training your spirit, because once you come outside your body, you are a creature so powerful. You're just a smidgen below God. A smidgen below, I'm telling you. And God understand that. If it wasn't that serious, life wouldn't be this serious. You know, I was with the surgeon today, and you think about how many years he had to go to school to be a surgeon, you know, compared to what a doctor went to school 1,000 years ago. What, a year? Okay, compared to like 12 years now. It's more critical. The more critical it is, the more time it's going to take for you to learn, because there's so many moving parts in it. And we're talking about being made kings and priests. So now look, again, you got to go look at what's going to transition. The rapture come. There are going to be people left on the earth, Gentiles and Jews. They're going to survive. Some are going to survive the tribulation. The Jews are, I know. Some of the Gentiles are. Maybe a few Christians. I don't know. Because, you know, they singled out. It's going to be a real tough dude. If you can't make it now. And then you got me. But. Okay, now they, after the end of that, when Jesus sat down on his throne in Jerusalem, so you got us now to have, I would say, a supernatural form. Just like it says in 1 John 3:2, you know, we'll be just like him. And you go back and you read after the resurrection what Jesus is like, and that's what we'll be like. Okay, so now, and you got this immense power, but now, and you got people, humans. They done been through the tribulation. You know, they traumatized. Don't think of them as everything going to be all right, because Satan, look at what's going on. Satan is locked up, okay? He's not thrown into the lake of fire until 1,000 years later. So you're dealing with human beings that have, some have gone through what we're going through, and then you're going to have those that are born during the tribulation and have never went through what we went through. They won't even know. There won't be no devil. They might run across some mean people, and we got to intercede and interact with them. See, so you can't have anger issues with that kind of power. We just seen a major incident where a person is now doing, what, 22 years in prison? Let me tell you, 22 years in prison for a police officer, it's like 40 years for everybody else. You know, his life he don't get to hang out with a bunch of group of guys and just, you know, kick it and tell lies to each other to pass the time of day. He's isolated. He's in, what they call it, socially distanced. On top of that, you know, he ain't got nothing to look forward to except Jesus. I hope he gets, if he ain't saved, I hope he gets saved. I really do. Amen. Because, that's the whole point. We cannot lose sight of the spiritual warfare. That's what this is about. And that's what David is saying here in Psalm 119. He's saying, I didn't lose sight of the spiritual warfare. Now, see, I don't even think I've seen the term spiritual warfare in the Old Testament. Now, probably they might not have used that vernacular, but I'm sure the prophets and the priests used something similar. I just have to run across it. I'm sure there is something in there that relates to that you have to work on the spiritual being, the inner man, because that's what David is talking about here. He's relating to, see, because the word of God affects what? It doesn't affect my flesh. It affects my spirit. My spirit affects my flesh. And if I absorb the word, then my flesh is going to do what the spirit does. My spirit going to do what the word does. That's what this is about. So, it's like any, I heard a preacher say, treat it like a sport. You know, you're going to get a lot of practice at that, trust me. You know, especially you got friends and family. All right, let's read another one here. And it's, okay, that was 61. We're going to drop down to 69. Now, people have experienced this. I have experienced it. The proud have forced the lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Now, you know, I've been deprived of position because people lie. I mean, that'll happen because, again, and even though we know it's the devil working, sometimes we play a role in it because we get lax in our attitude and in our prayer life particularly, okay, and Satan takes those opportunities because we don't do what we're supposed to. But even still, our response, we can't, if you know somebody lying, you still, whether they saved or not, have an obligation to pray for them. See, this is what that saying means, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. See, what God is only focused on is your preparation to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. You're not doing this to get to heaven. You're not doing this to live eternally. You're not doing this to walk on earth. You're doing this because you will have power. This flesh, the flesh ain't going to be the same. It's going to be different. The bonds that it has now, it won't have. So the danger increases, but the responsibility increases. See, you know, I mean, this is the whole point of this. See, and I'm not saying that you can't. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Young people, you can enjoy life. The Bible outlines what you can and cannot do. Don't listen to super religious folk that say everything is sin. Going to movies is a sin. You know, some things you do need to keep at a minimum. Okay, some places you need to keep at a minimum because of the behavior of the type of people that will be in that environment are not going to be wholesome and beneficial. But you can go see the point. You can enjoy yourself. You can play baseball. I remember a time when they wouldn't let women wear pants because of a misunderstanding of the scripture. They read half of it. There's a scripture that says a man shall not wear that which pertains to a woman, but they don't read the other part. That a woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man. And that there was distinctive clothing always has been. Of course, now you can see how crazy society is. You got men saying they're women, women saying they're men, and you got the weather for us, you know, I'm a frog or whatever. I mean, but see, and that's what happened when you let stupid out of the bag. I'm surprised Satan hasn't lost his mind from laughing at what is going on in the world. And then you got people in high level of government with a total mind loss. But again, God is looking at, he already know they sinners. They are captives. They are captives. Jesus said, I come to set the captives free, and he does his work through you. So I can't look at his behavior and criticize it. Okay? I can only lock my lips until I can say what God would have me to say. And I have to do it in love. And again, I'm not talking about, God don't say I have to like them. They don't have to really affect me emotionally. But if you really lean into this, if you really submit into this, you will get to that place where you will feel compassion for them. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago something that was pointed out to me, that Jesus never spoke about homosexuality. Not one time. Because he came to save the lost, period. Okay? He didn't have to speak against that fornication. He used the word fornication. That's any sin, sexual sin, period. I don't care how you dress it up, what you call it, you know. Give me, I got to do the PTDJ's wipe off some sweat here. Amen. But that's what this is about. So it's about keeping the continuity, consistently walking in love. The Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Spirit is God. What is God? God is love. You get it? Are you getting this? And we get these various instances in life with our family, marriage, friends, work, job, being in society to practice this. And yes, God will raise the bar. He will raise the bar. And it will be good. But you know what? You get to the point that you're like a SWAT team member. You know, when you train, you do what? You train till the reaction is automatic. So the right reaction, you know, we trained to the reaction. Like I said, with gun shooting, we were trained in the daytime, and you can shoot the target and then come back at night, shoot the same target, and you'll be 80% within the range, the proper area of shooting. That's what practice does. So you get to the point, I'm at the place now. Now, I mean, it took some years, took some time. God gave you time. He'll walk you through it. This is another reason why you got to keep loading yourself on the scripture. We're going to get some more in here. Matter of fact, while we on that, we're going to go to Jesus' brother, who I'm loving, you know, so that'll help with some. In James chapter 1, verse 20, and this is from the NIV, and it makes it plain and simple. 19:20, okay, it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Now, that's what David is talking about. See, that's the practice. And the quick to listen is in both the natural, the heavenly and the earthly. You know, quick to listen to a person talk to you, you know. Me and my wife has had, after I learned this, she learned it before I did. You know, was an interesting person. Anyway, quick to listen, because she would, if I wasn't quick to listen, I might be go a whole week and she wouldn't even talk to me. Not be angry. She would do everything that she was supposed to. But then you don't want those moments. They worse than arguing. They the same, had the same result. Nothing. But it glorified the devil and not God. So I got to the point where I just shut down. You know, shut down. Because, again, it's the process. It's the process. It's, and that it will benefit your life. People have lost opportunities and have ruined relationships because of their mouth. And the mouth is something else. If you read further, I think in the third chapter of James, he talks about how dangerous the tongue is. And you don't want it out of control. And then he say, be slow to speak. 10-second rule. See, they didn't invent the 10-second rule. God did. Be slow to speak. And slow to become angry. For a man's anger. See, in dealing with different situations, you want to get a plan from God, because he know the whole picture. He know exactly what is being done, and God got his own way of doing things, okay? So we're going to go back to verse 69, switch back. Verse 119, Psalm 119, 69. Okay, where he said, okay, we read that. He says, the proud have forced a lie against me. Now, again, why? Why would Satan put somebody else to do that? Because you lose your power once you get out of the order of God. You know, I was listening to, I know some of y'all older saints know, but there's a man by the name of a renowned saint of God, Charles Spurgeon, Dr. Charles Spurgeon. And I was listening, they put one of his messages, a lot of his messages on YouTube. And one, he was talking about the secret power of prayer, the secret power of prayer. And one of the things he's talking about is that when Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, okay, ask what you will and you shall get it. See, there's a continuity. Satan knows if he gets you out of God, get you from out from abiding in God, your prayers go in a box on hold. You know? He understands that. He understands that. So this concept is not something that came with the New Testament. It has always been around, because this is why back then they were anointed. The Holy Spirit would be upon them. But when the Spirit of God, and this is why I say church and you feel the presence of God. I know they're telling you psychologically that's just something that you happen, a euphoria that occurred. But listen, if you allow yourself some quiet time after church in the daytime, God will reveal what he did. You will never get into the presence of God and not get something. I don't think it's possible to leave. Gift sizes are big and small, but you will always get one. That is one of the things I hated about not even now when I was hurt and I couldn't go to church. See, watching on TV is one thing. Now, the God can expand the travel reaches of the anointing, and he will. He did in my case, you know. He reached into my household because he knew in my heart I wanted to be there. But there are times when the Spirit of God, it's just like in the Old Testament when the glory of God was set down on the tabernacle. That's the same thing, because we don't see the church light up. Trust me, a lot of people, how many times have people gone to church sick, come out healed? I mean, sick with all kind of diseases. And it just, it's a lot going on because, again, there's a power flow. But what brings the power flow? Submission to God. That's what this is about. You have the right to rebel, go the opposite way. Look at all the people that don't follow Christ. They have a right to do that. But they're not going to get the goods. They like think they are, but they're not going to get the goods. All right. So what we got here? Let's go down to 78. I mean, this is, like I said, it's 176 verses in this, so I'm not going to cover all 176, just the ones that the Holy Spirit want to be a saying. It says in Psalm, in verse 78, it says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts." Now, you got to understand that if you've been attacked, if you've been let down, you've been deprived, been withheld, there's a pressure there, because sometimes we just want to reach out and touch a brother, They say lay hands on him. But, again, drawing your mind back to the concepts of God, to the love of God. Remember, I believe Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where God first introduces love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love God. When he say love God, when I read that, I knew that was trouble. I mean, if you're telling me I got to love God, that means something is going to happen that ain't lovely. And I have to keep the faith. I have to love God, and I had to draw myself to the place to praise him in the midst of that situation. It's almost like, it's like climbing a mountain. It is like climbing a mountain. But again, God wants us to understand. See, you going through it, you'll be able to relate to somebody going through it. See, And that happens because this is I had a mentor that passed a couple of years ago. When he passed, he was 98 years old. See, I never understood. People would say you have to work on a marriage. And I'm like, okay, I knew how to work on a car, but how do you work on a marriage? Well, see, he explained it to me, and he used a word to explain it to me. And the work, most of the work, as he made it clear, was going to be on me, not her. I work on me. I have my work on her. The only work I have on her is to love her and to pray for her. Treat her as God's daughter, regardless, consistently. And that's the whole point. Why? Because that's why God created that, for one, to create a family. but to also to put us in a situation where we have to let love go to work. See, we know about the Eros. That's what usually get us married. We get married, that's that hookup between a man and a woman. That's what we be thinking about. You know, we thinking about the bump and rump, and we don't think about, okay, that's 1% of the marriage. What about the other 99%? Okay, and all the challenges that come with it. And I mean, you look at the various situations. You know, they talk about Job's wife, but I only heard one preacher, two preachers I know, talked about the fact that Trump, women particularly, you kill their children, man. You hurt them. That Job's wife was hurt, see? And Job, man, that is a classic example of loving God. The Bible says in all this, you got to read Job. In all this, Job sinned not. God even said he did, you know. But it's, life does that. But you're going to get your chance to prove your love to God one way or another. You got millionaires to go broke. You got folk getting millionaires in there and their family get dissolved. I mean, you're going to get a chance. No matter what, you're here. It comes with the territory, you know. I know we like to think that you get saved, and you saved and protected from all the trouble of the world. If that was the case, everybody would be a Christian. Being a Christian is almost, I think, in life is the equivalent of being in the Marines. It is not. It's that day. It gets easier as you get stronger. It's just like a weightlifter. A guy that bench press lifts 300-400 pounds, picking up a watermelon ain't no problem for him, you know, because he's used to dealing with much more. You know, like I say, I remember being in at work one day, and this guy, he couldn't get his way, so he commenced to calling me names, and I mean, this dude was making up some names, and the other inmates was laughing because it was so funny. But then what made him even angrier was it started being funny to me. He was talking about my mother. That man didn't know my mother, but he was saying some stuff that was just, to me, silly. And then 15 minutes later, I wrote out a report and sent him to the hole. And I got the last laugh. And I did him good, too. But anyway, okay. But the department regulations would have prevented me from going in there with a blackjack and beating the slop out of me. That used to happen. You know, we had several incidents like that, and you get prosecuted for that. See, so it's the same everywhere. See, it's the same. See, Satan always tricking you. That's pride of life. Remember that when we talk about the three things that Satan does, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? See, he hurt your pride. If you cross-reference pride in the Bible, you won't find the Bible saying nothing good about it. If God ain't got nothing, I got my pride. If God ain't got nothing good to say about it, I ain't got nothing good to say about it. I understand what people are saying or think they're saying, but see, pride is like the word that I don't use. I don't use independent. I use non-dependent. My wife is non-dependent. She could make it on her own. She's not independent. Independent to me leaves God out. Non-dependent means I can make it with God without you. That's a big difference. Anyway, all right, so we're seeing, I just want you to get the mindset, the concept, the psychology of God have never been different. Because this was transferred to David. This was taught to David, okay, from his family. And then there's also that time you spend with God. Because if it ain't nobody around, see, every time I tried to make an excuse as to why I didn't know and didn't do what I do, God killed it before I finished the sentence. Because he's always available. He's always available. If you stop and take time to talk to God, he'll talk back to you. I remember years ago when I first started, I was so happy to hear that God talked to people. Because I thought I was crazy. Because I knew it was him because he wasn't agreeing with what I was planning. That was easy to figure out. And again, how did I know that? Because I knew what his word said. I knew what his word said. I knew I couldn't steal no more. Everybody knew thou shalt not steal. I mean, at that time I was working in the auto industry. They had a place with destroyed cars going, they were throwing away brand new radios, and if you took one, it was stealing. because, you know, they got paid for the trash. And they got, you know, it's amazing. See, and again, if I'd have took it, now I got, you got with the sin of Achan, where you just stole something from God. You, anything you do, you steal from God. You cannot steal from just man and not steal from God, especially if you're a Christian. Remember that. And that's troublesome right there. All right, so we go here down to, skip down to 86. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me, Lord. Okay? Because the word of God is true. If you stand your ground on the word, your enemies, they won't win. They may start up the hill. They might start the battle, but they will not end in victory. You know, it will not end good. Right now, it's a thing. I'm telling you, a lot of what's going on in the world, people have been, I understand, they have a legitimate complaint about racism, which is just another demonic tactic that Satan uses for divide and conquer. Again, if I let myself get to the place where I think so little of a person because of the color of their skin that God chose, he's the one that selected the skin colors, okay, then what am I doing? Satan got a twofer. He got them for acting racist. He got me because I'm hating on them and I ain't got no power. And now, then he come in and open up a door, and a lot of times he slip through that door, family and them will die. He slip through that door, you go broke, your car break down, you get sick, you lose a job, all kind of stuff happen in a matter of a second. You see a car accident, the car is good, coming down the street, 2 seconds later, it's crashed. Don't leave that open. See, that's what all this is about. And it's critical now in these last days. It is very critical to be our more focused now than I've ever been, because I realize not only the rapture, I really believe there was a lot of Christians died last year that Satan slipped them out of here. And listen, if you ain't 100 years old, I think you left here early. I call them early arrivals. And they know that now. They know that now. They were younger than me. I'm just turned 70 this year. They should not have been left out. I've seen high-level men of God leave here, but I also believe there were some things coming out of their mouth that should not have came out of their mouth. You do not get an opinion beyond that which is acceptable to God. What the scripture say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable where? In your sight, O Lord. See, what Paul say, neither give place to the devil. This is what's happening. So again, like I said, it's a challenging time, but it's even more critical. But at the same time, you want to enjoy some blessings of life, you know? Stay in consistency with God. If you delight yourself in the Lord, you delight yourself, you make it get to the place where you easily submit, then you can put your request before God. That's what Jesus said. He said, ask what you will. You know, ask what you will. Trust me. I'm asking for some stuff. I'm asking for some stuff. You know, I'm building a hot rod. And if I didn't want to work in a specific class that has specific restrictions, I would be believing God for a 500 cubic inch Hemi motor. And after I succeed in what I'm trying to accomplish, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Okay? But I'm going to get a whole lot more with that. But again, because we're here on earth. So he's given us in 1 Timothy, I think, 6:17. Cross-reference the word joy, you'll find it for exactness, but he says he's given us the last part of that verse says, he talks about rich people. Again, doesn't matter, rich and poor, consistency. Don't get caught up in your money. Don't get caught up in hurtful lust. But remember, God has given us all things to enjoy. All things, the word all does not have a different definition in Hebrew and Greek than the word all. It means everything. You know, I got a thing on the list. I got a boat on the list. I'm going to have it before Jesus come back. Believe me, before Jesus come back, I'm going down the river in my boat. And the reason I don't have it right now, because I've been out in the river. I've been out there in a 16-footer, a 20-footer, a 28-footer, a 30-footer, a 34-footer, and a 42-footer, and I think I won't feel comfortable unless it's a 42-foot boat. It is what it is. And I don't just want to park it. I want the gas and the money to go with it. So what I have to do, I have to be submissive to God. And it's worth it. It's worth it. Yeah, there's a reason Jesus was loved being by the water and on the boat and why he was asleep. Trust me, if you ain't been out on a boat, you ought to get your rap. Don't be scared. Claim your authority. Get on the boat. Claim your authority. You know, command angels. Command angels. If you don't feel comfortable, if I don't feel comfortable, we got a big God, so I command angels in numbers most people don't even know. I command like I'll ask for a million legions. Yes, I would. God the one that's going to get an order. All I know is I want overwhelming power. That's between me and you. That's my concept. And you want scripture on that? All I can give you is what Matthew, I think, 26:32, where Jesus said he could command angels. If he can command angels, I can command angels. There ain't no restriction on how many I can command. Hebrews 1:14 said they're here to serve us, so I'm going to give them something to do. I don't want them to get bored. I think they like me. I keep them going. They get to come to earth a lot, every day. See, and these things, the Deuteronomy 29 secrets, you want them, you got to stay close to God. He'll tell you things everybody else doesn't know. How do you think we got where we are today? Why are we driving cars where we are today? How come Archimedes, who was one of the greatest mathematicians in the earth back in his time, about 3,000 years ago, and yet they didn't have cars 80 years later, and he knew the math that we know now? See, but then again, they would have put stink in there, and Jesus wouldn't have had no place to come. All right. So let's get back a little bit more of this, because there's a lot of this. Let's go down to verse 133. That's why I say you have to sit down on Saturday, sit out in the back, you know, get you some not wine. Not wine is non-alcoholic wine. I ain't going to tell you the brand name. They told me don't do that. But they got it at Myers, you know. I don't like the alcohol, but you sleep anyway. You know, and then just read this, throw and think. Yeah, particularly if you read it in, I should be reading it in the NIV. But, anyway, listen at this. It says, this is a request. Request. Lead me, Lord. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. God, you understand what I'm dealing with. Give me the revelation that I need to succeed over this. See, you want to have that authority. You got that. This is God's intention for you. Verse 31, 35. Make your face to shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Listen, you know God. You can see the face of God on people when how he blessed them because they're happy no matter what. You say, wait a minute, didn't you just lose 3 family members? What you happy about? Because I know they're in heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. So, you know, I'm past that. I got the initial shock of over that. Okay? So, verse 141. We're running a little long time. Are you getting a revelation? That's all I want you to get is a revelation that this man, 3,000 years ago, understood being close to God, doing what God say do, how he say do, is what life is about. That's what it's about. To have spent your whole life down here and never did the will of God. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think around verse 12 through 15, it says that all men's work shall be tried by fire, and that which sustains, that person will receive a reward. Well, you think about it. Whose fire? God's fire. What can stand God's fire? To me, spiritual works, doing the will of God. You know, that covers a lot of territory. I believe in Acts chapter 10, it shows you some things, that the prayers and the giving of Cornelius, a Gentile, was held as a memorial before God, okay? So those things count. When you pray for somebody, I prayed for, I don't know, maybe 8 people yesterday that they will receive the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of God, because God can't even begin to minister to them until we pray for them. You see how important you are? That's another key area where you have to be submissive to God. Today, you know, was kind of an unusual day. I had to go see the surgeon, and I didn't want to be late. So when I woke up, I was debating. I said, I didn't get enough rest. It's amazing the battle that I was going through. And I started to say, well, I'm gonna let the day go. I'm not gonna pray. I just didn't feel comfortable, you know, because, you know, God can't do what he need to do unless we say what we need to say. He depends on us. And he's made it easy for us. We got a variety of ways to pray. He has to answer. You know, I was telling somebody about praying for Trump. I didn't have to answer. It might have been hard to answer for me to answer prayer, but to pray, that's the only person that got to answer. But I had practice of praying for people that I thought should be burned in a fire, okay? All right. So, you, like I say, we want to go through this. We do 145. I cry with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will. The impetus. It's me. I make a decision. God ain't going to make me. You know, I hear people, and I understand the genuineness of their heart, you know, asking God to take something from them. He's not going to take it from you because he's giving you authority over it. And he's looking for you to show your love for him by exercising your authority over it. Let me go over that again. He's looking for you to show your love for him by exercising the authority he has given you over whatever it is that you think he should be taking away. God didn't have, you know, I remember I thought it was so funny. This person was, you know, they was talking about, you know, if you ask God to take your cigarettes, he don't smoke. They don't have smoking in heaven. What do you want to take them from? See, but understand what it is. It's a poison trying to kill you. You know, I understand the battle. I've been there. I used to smoke. You know, I used to smoke whatever burned. You know, but again, let me tell you something. Like, this is my remedy for that. If you're struggling with smoking, the average cigarette burns about 3 minutes. It's about 20 in a pack. Of course, it might be less these days. But and then they charge y'all more. Man, inflation is something. But listen, instead, when you get the desire to smoke, praise God. If you praise God for 3 minutes, 20 times a day, I'm pretty sure you'll stop smoking. I'm pretty sure you'll stop anything. Any challenge you are faced with, replace it with praise for God. Get your focus on him. Get your mind on Jesus. He will give you perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3. If you make a decision to keep your mind, he's not going to take your mind and make it focus on him. You take your mind and put it on him. See, again, this is what this life is about. But it'll give you peace. Peace is the world could be in total chaos. I look at the world today. I was looking at London, July 12th, and it was the west of London, southwest of London was flooded. The highways got flooded. The whole area got flooded and the highway. See, people are getting this. It's some stuff going on. I'm a firm believer that if it's unnatural weather, I can protect my area from it. I can't protect everybody's. I can't protect, you know, Elijah had it so he could put a whole, he held back the rain from a whole nation. So he, you know, but I'm not a prophet. I'm not on that level. So, but I do pretty good for my neighborhood. I protect, pray over my sewer systems that the water, that there be no backups. And my basement didn't get flooded. I don't want to go through all that, you know. So, I hope you grabbed a little bit. I don't know if I'm through with this. I don't think I am. But if either way it go, whatever God got. Because almost, if you really listen to almost all the messages that come across pulpit that you see on YouTube, all are hinged on this. Getting us to do what God says, how God says, when God says, the way God says. Now, if you do that, you'll be blessed. God will lead you to blessing. He'll lead you to blessing. He'll lead you to more. You might ask for one thing, and he'll give you something even more blessed. And you know what blessed is when it exceeds, it doesn't bring you, but say the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Okay? remember I had bought a car, and I was just, I thought something was, it was such a blessing. I thought the man was trying to run game on me somewhere. And I'm like, something broke on here, you know. But, and it was a beautiful car. I wish I still had that car. But anyway, but that's the same thing. Trust me, if you trust God, he will lead you to the blessing. He know we, that's an incentive. He know what you're going through down here. He's given us all things to enjoy. So with that, let us just go to maybe some new people here that have just listened for the first time, because praise God, I'm meeting new people. And this is the key. All the blessings of God are yes and amen, but you have to have a covenant with him. And these days, that's an agreement between you and God. That's an agreement between you and God. There's a contract. So it begins with this. You must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need that anyway, because if you don't have that, God can't let you into heaven. You won't be permitted into heaven. And he will be, God would, think about this. Do you know God would actually be brokenhearted if you don't show up to heaven? See, it ain't about you just, your life being challenged. He actually desires you to be there with God. He's a one-on-one. Even though there's 7 billion people down here, he's a one-on-one. And you, he thinks of you like you're the only one, like you're Adam. Every relationship with God is like you are Adam. And that's how you have to proceed a relationship. But let us begin that. Just say this. Look how easy he made this. Just say this prayer. Lord God in heaven, I believe the story of your word. I believe that men are born in sin. And I believe that you sent your son to die for that sin. And I right now I acknowledge that, and I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask your son, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I thank you. I believe I receive it right now in Jesus' name. See how simple that is? It's that simple. God is not out to hurt you. God ain't mad at you, okay? You can't do nothing to make him mad at you. Well, you can, but you'd have to be at my level to do it. But anyway, remember this. Don't let the fact that you make mistakes stop you. If you never quit, God will never quit. If you never quit, God will never quit. And remember, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week. Amen. Praise God.
Let's take it back. Yeah.